I'd like to say,
it's good to be here. Good evening. There you go. That's good. I like to hear people when they talk back to me. You know what that means? That lets me know that they're listening. It's very important for us all to listen. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't listen too good. I should have, but I didn't. But I can remember one night, August of 1983, I listened. And you know what it done? It made a believer out of me. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that tonight. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to see each and every one of you. The brothers already mentioned, if you're here tonight and you're lost and you're separated from God, and God's dealing with your heart, please pray right now. You're not going to hinder me. You're not going to hinder the people of this church. I can promise you, when you get down to business with God, you won't know nobody's around but you and the Lord.
That's right.
I promise you that. It'll be between you and Him, and you'll know exactly when it happens. So tonight, if you feel like you need to do anything, you're not going to hinder me. If you need to sing, you sing. If you need to shout, you shout. You do what God wants you to do, and I promise you it'll be a good place to be. Let's remember all the lost, that they'd be saved by God's grace. I've been excited about this revival. I'm just going to tell you. I'm concerned, of course. I'm burdened, but I'm excited. Been thinking about it a lot. You know, just about a month ago, I was coming out of Save-A-Lot, and the sister of this church, she's here tonight. She gave me a hug, and she said, "Boy, I'm looking forward to revival." She said, "It's going to be a good one." And I started to go to my truck, and boy, I got to thinking about that. She didn't say she thought it was going to be a good one. She didn't say it might be a good one. She said, "It's going to be a good one." And I promise you that God's got a revival to give this church this week. And it's going to be a good one. Let's have faith. That's what we're about. It's faith. Faith in God. So let's be about the Father's business throughout this week. Anything on anyone's heart before we get started, anything at all. I thank you for having the confidence in us to ask us to come and help. I know Brother Jeff, he's not here tonight. He's still in revival at Maple Grove. And he loves y'all and he's looking forward to being here. He told me that today. So let's pray for him tonight. He's probably doing right behind the same bookboard he had to preach tonight. So let's pray for him. Anything on anyone's heart before we get started?
Shall be praising Christ through ages long.
heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. All right.
We'll have a song and open the doors to the church just want everybody to mind the Lord and follow the Lord. I feel like there's some that hadn't joined yet that may need to. I wouldn't drag you up here, but I would tell you, follow that knocking at your heart and follow the Lord. I said this morning, I want you to eat the good of the land. Amen. And I meant that. We're saved and living on the manna, but boy, once the children of Israel got to Gilgal, the manna was done. He said, now go eat the good of the land. Right. And I don't believe you can enjoy salvation until you follow the Lord in baptism, join the church, amen, and then eat the good of the land. He's got so much in store for you than what you realize. So while we have a song, give you an opportunity to come.
Everybody, just please continue to follow the Lord.
Amen.
Anything else on anyone's heart, anything at all, please feel free. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That means freedom. You've got freedom tonight to do whatever you feel like you need to do that the Lord wants you to do at any time. Just please follow the Lord. If not, I want you to think about a couple things tonight. I want you to think about all. A-L-L. All. A lot of times when we do things, part of the time we're not all in, are we? Honestly. I remember As a kid growing up, I was always taught anything I do, you make sure you give it your all. That you're all in. I want you to think about that tonight. I want you to think about being willing and wanting. There's a willingness, a want. I want you to think about that tonight. Not only that, but when those two things are put together, we can see a result that's amazing. The first time I had studied on this years ago, and the Lord had showed me some things in the Scripture, I thought about, there's a woman in the Scriptures, and a lot of them you read about Martha and Mary and Eunice and Lois, which was Timothy's mother and grandmother. Martha and Mary Magdalene, Elizabeth, Ruth, different women in the Bible. You know their names. Well, this woman I'm going to read about, she had a name, but it don't give her a name. But it tells what kind of woman she was. And she was a widower. You know what a widower is? It's one that's been married and her husband has passed away. And when I think about what took place here, I try to picture. I don't know about you, but when I read the Scriptures and I think about the Word of God, I try to go there. I like to go there and be involved in that, be in the crowd and watch. And I've thought about that many times, about this woman and what she done. I'm going to read it to you. And you might think, what in the world does this have to do? I promise you, when I get through, you'll know. Because I promise you, for us to have revival, I want every one of us to be all in.
Right.
Because I'll tell you right now, if we get all in, it's going to be a big revival. Not a small one, but a big one. I thought about this. You know, we think we're in the year 2019. We think about in the 80s. And when I got saved in 83, there was 13 of us that got saved. You know when we started getting saved? Second Sunday. Started on Sunday night. Went all week long. That first Sunday, my cousin got saved. When we got through, there was 12 more. Went on 2 weeks. Well, I was in the 80s, Brad. I was in a revival in 2000 at Antioch. Me and Brother G.W. Knight. I'm nothing. I ain't nothing but a piece of dirt. There was 11 saved. 26 joined the church. Went on 2 weeks. So I'm telling you, God has not changed.
Amen.
But when we, as God's people, when we get all in, God sees that. I want you to think about that tonight. I'm going to read these scriptures to you. This is found if you have your Bibles and you want to read along. We're going to be reading now the 12th chapter of the book of Mark, in the 41st verse. You have your Bibles. And it says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasurer and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites. 2 mites is 1/8 of a cent. Now that don't seem a whole lot to us, does it? 1/8 of a cent wouldn't buy nothing, would it? Wouldn't buy nothing. There's no way that you could go anywhere and take 1/8 of a cent and buy anything. Right? But I want you to think about this. The Scripture says this was so amazing. The Lord seen this and He was so amazed of this woman that was a widow woman that took 1/8 of a cent and cast it into the treasury. That He said, look how it's worded. He said, and He called unto him his disciples. He said, listen, people, come over here, disciples. I want to show you something that amazingness took place. This widow woman, which took 1/8, was seen it. We see in the scriptures, there was rich people there. They were throwing her in there, wasn't they? This woman threw in 1/8. Notice this. It says, verily I say unto you, that this poor, P-O-O-R, widow, hath cast more in than all, A-L-L, they which have cast in to the treasure. Notice this. This is the beautiful part of it. Said, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, and all her living. Now, we're not talking about money tonight. Me and Benji ain't wanting to get rich. That's not what I'm talking about. Here's what I'm talking about. That when we, as God's people, I don't care what your name is. I don't care what your bank account is. I don't care nothing about that. What I do care about is each and every one of us in here. That whatever that we have from the abundance of our hearts, if throughout this week, if we'll pray from our hearts, if we'll be willing to do whatever it takes for people to be saved. You see, we have come here to have a meeting, and you know what we're doing? We're building upon a kingdom. We are. I want to see people get saved, and I don't want it to stop there. I want to see people get saved, and I want them to do. You know, when I got saved and I come off the altar, I went out about right in here. It wasn't about 5 minutes till the Lord come to me. He said, son, don't you need to join this church? I said, well, yes, Lord. And I did. I didn't wait till the next night. I joined that night. Well, why? Because I wanted to, because God saved me. You didn't have to come back there and take a stick to me. The Lord just saved me. What in the world would you do when God saves you?
Amen.
You see, when you get where you want something, I'm telling you, when you really get down to business with the Lord, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Ain't that amazing about this woman? It's amazing, ain't it? Every one of us, listen to me. You've been saved in God's grace. You ain't never joined the church. I'm telling you tonight, you don't have to scratch your head no more. You need to join the church.
Amen.
It's commanded that you join the church. I promise you that. I promise you. I've asked people before. You got 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14, 15-year-old kid. Where do y'all think that person needs to join the church? There's no question about it. Wherever their mom and daddy goes. Right? It is. How are they going to get to church? Think about that. So I'm telling you, if you're here, you've been saved, this is where you've been took, and you're young, you need to join this church.
Amen.
Simple as that. Think about it. But here's the thing. Every one of us has got a job to do. We've already made a statement. We're building on a kingdom, right? Every one of us. We're here tonight. We want to see people get saved. We want to be revived, don't we?
Amen.
Okay. You have your Bibles? I want you to turn to Exodus. The 35th chapter. You have your Bibles, you want to read along a little bit. We're just going to hit some highlights of the scriptures. But what's taking place here is the children of Israel. God's got people. Children of Israel, he brought them out of bondage. He wanted a tabernacle. That's what this is tonight. Did you know that? It is. It's God's tabernacle. We're here. We're on the inside. We're his furniture, are we not? We're His people. Now think about this a minute. Notice this. In the 5th verse, in the 35th chapter of the book of Exodus, it says, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it and offer an offering of the Lord, gold, silver, and brass." Notice the word there. It says a willing heart. So God, He's looking on your heart tonight. And He really knows tonight how bad you want to have revival. Did you know that? See, the thing in the world today is we get so many things on our mind, and it, what it does, it clusters out, and we can't get to our heart where we need to be. So let's get where we need to be with the Lord, and let's have a willing heart. You might say, well, I'll just give you an example for me. Probably about 2 years ago, I preached just about every Sunday, and I was preaching, and boy, there's a dry spell. These brothers and these preachers, they know what a dry spell is. There was a dry spell, and I was trying to figure out what was wrong. What's going on with me? I was driving down the road over there between Springfield and going up through into Kentucky. And I didn't have an appointment that Sunday. I thought, boy, it's probably a good thing, Lord, that I don't have one. Because it wasn't where I needed to be. And I was talking to the Lord and I was praying. All at once I got a phone call. We need you to preach something. I thought, well, I can't tell them no. I ain't got no point. So I said, okay, well, I got our phone. I got to pray. And I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? You know what He told me? He don't stutter. He don't make no mistakes. He's all perfect. He's all knowing God. He said, Brad, your heart ain't right. That's what He said. Didn't take me long to figure out. I got to pray, and next time I stood, I had a big time preaching. Because I got back my heart willing like it needed to be. You see, when you read in these scriptures, you'll find as we go on, it says, "And every wise hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord had commanded." You read on in those scriptures, what they're doing is they're bringing stuff in to build this tabernacle. When you come in them doors, you need to bring yourself in here with the very depths of your heart. Bring revival with you. Yes, bring it. We'll have it. Notice what it says. Go on to the 20th verse. It says, "They came, everyone whose heart stirred him up." Now, I'm going to tell you, I helped in the spring revival here last year, and I'm going to tell you, I've seen some spirit in this church. I've seen some things moving around in the altar. I've seen things that I like to see. The Spirit of the Lord. That's what we need, is the Spirit of God. We need our hearts stirred up, brothers and sisters. Notice this. He said, "They came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and ever whom his spirit," what? "Made willing." So that's a very important word. "And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle and the congregation and for all his service and for the holy garments." Notice this now. See, a lot of times we think, well, the men will take care of it, or men will make the women take care of it, right? I'm telling you, I've been in churches where the women outdone the men way before. I'm being honest about it. You know how many men stayed at the cross? Anybody know? One. One. Name's John. All the rest of them, they left. That's the truth. Now the women stayed there. But there was one man, John. But I want you to notice this. We're all in this together. Notice what it says here. Is it? And that says, "And they came both men and women, as many as were willing hearted." You see, that's the thing. Is we need to come in here with a willing heart. Men and women ready to serve the Almighty God. Listen, I'm telling you,
When I was lost and separated from God at that Kingside Missionary Baptist Church, they come in that altar and they prayed. They sung psalms. They didn't get too tired. They kept going and going and going. And God looked upon the abundance of their heart. They give all they had. And when they did, people get saved by God's grace.
Amen.
You see, that's what it takes. Giving it all. Every bit of it. Ain't that, you know what?
Do you know what the commandment? There was a man that came to Jesus. And he was tempted. He was a lawyer. And he asked him, he said, what's the great commandment? Which is the biggest one? Jesus. You know what Jesus told him? He said, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. A-L-L. With all your mind. A-L-L. And with all your soul. A-L-L.
And with all your strength.
And then what was the next one? He said, and the second is likened unto love your neighbor as yourself. And you know what he done with that? The Bible says that he says, on these two commandments, he said, I hang all along the prophets. On everything. Before Jesus took his last breath, the old law, he hung on those two things. Ain't that something? Go ahead. You go ahead. You see that? That's old time religion right there. Yes. That's what I'm up to say. Let's all get in this. Let's get in it. You think about this. Let's love him tonight. With all your heart, your mind, and your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, I can remember when I went to the altar. I run to the altar at night. I remember my mom and dad. They almost beat me there. And they didn't even know I was lost. I hadn't even told them. You know, but I can remember other people running up there too. You know what it says to love your neighbor as yourself? Any person this week goes to this altar seeking the Lord by this commandment that I just give you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Act like that's your kid. Think about it. Act like that's your child. Because that commandment says for us to love thy neighbor as thyself. You think about that. That's the truth. Let's give it all to him. Every bit of it, not some of it. You know, that's what he wants from us. He wants all of us. I was preaching at a church.
Probably about 7-8 years ago up in Kentucky.
And I was sitting over getting ready to preach and
they requested a song.
And I'd never heard it before. The name of it, we got a brother and sister that started singing at our church here just about a year ago. Lay Your Eyes Down. The name of the song. Well, I knew when they got ready to start, I thought, my mind went to start to think about Abraham. I know... this has got to be something about Abraham. Lay your eyes at that. So they begin to sing that song. I begin to think about
Abraham.
You know, Abraham hinged everything upon Isaac. You know that? That was the promise. God made his promise to Abraham. He
laid her all down.
He left his family, he left his kindred, he left everything. He did. He left it all. He left it all. He laid it all down. What happened was, is when he laid it all down, God sent him, and he went, and he had a son. His name is Isaac, by promise. And God told him,
listen,
God told him, he said, I want you to take your son and I want you to offer him sacrifice for me. You know what Abraham done, don't you? He took him up there.
And he began to offer him
as a sacrifice to the Lord. You see, Abraham was all in, wasn't he? But you know what?
As that song says, it
says that he never wanted Abraham. I mean, he never wanted Isaac. But he wanted all of them to save him. You see, when he went up there and he got ready to take that life,
you see, from his heart,
he was fixing to take his son's life immediately. And all at once, the very moment I believe that God seen the very depths of Abraham's heart, he was really going to do it.
Can you imagine that? Taking your own son
and taking him up there, binding him up, and you're fixing to take that knife
and you're fixing to kill him.
And I believe with all my heart that Abraham,
everything that was in him,
he was fixing to do it. But the very moment that he was going to do it,
God spoke from heaven,
you see. And he didn't have to take
that son, did he? You see,
you know why? Because God never wanted Isaac. He already had him. But he wanted all of Abraham.
And you see, that's what he wants of us. He wants all of us. Every bit of us. Please.
Let's all serve God.
Amen.
Let's all do what we're supposed to do. Let's all, if you need to testify, if you need to sing, if you need to come up here and pray around Tyler, come.
Don't wait for me to finish.
Just come. When God does something, he makes it in order,
you see. You know, April stood up.
She needed to. That didn't bother me a bit. If you need to stand up and testify, you do what God wants you to do.
It won't bother me one bit.
Let's follow the Lord.
Amen. We need to make sure that we do all that we're supposed to.
You know, the scripture says when Jesus gave the promise of the comforter that would come, what did they do? The Bible says in the first chapter of Acts, they went there. And they all tarried and they prayed. Right?
In the second chapter, you read about the first three or four verses, you'll find
in there that they were all together in one accord and they prayed. What happened? And what I said at the first,
all.
And then, what's going to take place after we do all? Holy Spirit come with great power.
How many people got saved? Y'all know? Wasn't it 5,000? Huh?
That's how many got saved. You know, we need to be together. We need to be praying. Give it all you got this week. Everything that you got, the very depths on the inside of it. Listen, Satan put those things out. You know that? He could this week. We need to be aware of that. But push him aside. Let's give it all we got. You know what? When that first church started out, you know what they done? They killed James. Did y'all know that? James died. Peter got put in prison and was fixed to be killed. But guess what?
Because of the church. You read in the scriptures,
they were there together. They continued praying.
And you know what God done? God spared Peter. Why?
Because they give all they had. Pray. What are you willing to do? See a great revival in this church? Is your heart where it needs to be? Is that want there? Are you willing? Preacher mentioned a while ago about the scripture
that the Lord's power and presence was among them to heal. He said that, wasn't he? Didn't he?
Let me tell you something. I've already felt the Lord here tonight.
Amen.
His power is here tonight. He's present here tonight. What are you willing to do? You know the scriptures that when that scripture took place, you know what took place?
His disciples run up on a man that was laying in the bed.
They did.
They thought, well, Lord, you know what?
If I can get this man to the Lord, he'll walk. They got up there. A lot of us, be honest. There's a big crowd. All of us would say, I would cry.
Turn away. Would we not? You know what they done?
They couldn't get in the door. They went on the roof. That's exactly right. They went on the roof, and you know what? They didn't just stop there. The Bible says that they tore the tiling off the roof. Listen, I'm telling you, if God puts on your heart, you do whatever you're supposed to do. I tell you, I thought about this as I was studying. There was a sister in the church that I grew up. She'd done gone to be with the Lord, a good woman. Never seen nothing bad in that woman. They said one night, years ago, before I was ever born, she was standing there in revival, her and another one, and God got a hold of them. They left the church and went to a man's house. He come back, and he got saved. If God's telling you to go get somebody, bring them back to revival, go get them. That happened. Never knew that to her funeral. Isn't that amazing? They went up on that roof. They tore the tiles off. Thank the Lord that man down in there. You reckon the Lord healed him first? Nope. He saved him. You know what? The scripture says, and don't miss praying. Listen to it. It says that he saw their faith.
Right.
T-H-E-I-R. Their faith. He saved that man.
And he even asked him, he said, which is easier? Make him walk again, or made to save him, or make him walk again. And then he said, rise up and walk.
That man got saved, and he got healed from not being able to walk because the disciples would not give up, and they give all they had. Just give it up. What the Lord's put on their heart.
If you're here tonight and you're lost, I pray God's dealing with you.
I used to think, well, when I'm preaching, you know, we're starting out in revival.
Surely I need to preach to the lost. Well, I'm going to tell you what God showed me a long time ago.
I went to Illinois one time. About 20-something years ago, I hadn't been preaching very long. I went up there.
There wasn't about five of us there. There's a little girl there. She was lost. I was tore all pieces. I begged the Lord. I went in the bathroom three times.
Just praying. Please let me preach to the lost. He wouldn't do it. I had to preach. There was a brother there. With me, he needed to hear this message. So I'm telling you, and that girl got up on the bench and she prayed. So God can take any message. I pray tonight if you're here and you're lost and you're separated from God, I'm going to tell you,
God will let you know when you're lost.
My mom was here tonight. I used to ask her, when I was a little boy, I'd see him go to the altar and pray and seek him. And I'd say, Mama, when will I do that? She said, son, you know. That was good advice. I'd say, people come off the altar and get saved. I'd say, Mama, when will I know when I get saved? She said, son, you'll know. Sure enough, let me tell you. I was sitting back in the house on that Sunday night. And when that gospel came to me, I knew. Oh, my heart was tore all to pieces. I could feel condemned. I felt ashamed. And all these things were coming on the inside of my heart. And I felt, as the Bible says, that Jesus said, you can't come to me unless the Father draws you. I felt God drawing me to him. Listen, I'm telling you, you pray anywhere you want to, but I'm telling you, the Marines couldn't have kept me from getting to the altar that night. That's where God drawed me to. If you feel like you need to come to the altar and call out to God, you come and seek him out till you know that you've been saved.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you're going to have to be willing. There's no power in this bitch. There's no virtue in this bitch. But let me tell you, I've seen a bunch of them get saved on her. When I was growing up, we went to the altar. I'm just telling you, seats over here, seats over here in this altar. Well, if you feel God pulling you this way, please come. Like I said, there's no virtue in this. You're going to be willing to make an altar somewhere. Oh God, and this is sure a good place for you to come. I preached on the word all tonight, and I promise you, you're going to have to give it all up. I promise you, you know what? You can't do that by yourself. John, you got to have God's help. When a person realizes there's nothing in the world they have to offer God, then they surrender.
Yeah.
They surrender. And that's what God wants, is a surrender. So if you're here tonight, you're lost in God's name in your heart. Please don't put it off. Please don't put it off. Listen.
We're living in a dangerous time. Did you know that? There's no,
probably the average age
that I preached a funeral in the last 2 years is about 50. I'm going to turn 50 in another month and a half. That's the average age. I preached a 47-year-old woman's funeral just a month and a half ago. Yes, yes. 51-year-old. I preached 22-year-old. Listen, I'm telling you, if you go to the obituary line when I was a kid, you never heard of no kids dying, hardly, did you? It's usually a 67-year-old person when I was a kid. Listen, you call the obituary line and you hear them, they're 40, 50, 54, 53, different ages. Listen, I'm telling you, death is coming, it's sure. If God is dealing with your heart, you're lost. Listen, you need to listen to that call from God. Did you know what? Things get right with us. Listen to me. And I'm not saying God ain't going to put something on your heart to go talk to somebody. I'm not saying that at all. But I promise you, things get right, you won't have to worry about talking to them. They'll run to you. You hear me? I believe that with all my heart. I believe when the Spirit gets right, they'll run to me. We need to pray for that. Let's do all that we can do. Please, everybody, just find your place. Listen, it might be something that you need to do. You know what? I done something the other day. 2 or 3 days ago. I was supposed to do it last October. I'm a man of God. I'll confess to you. Something God put on my heart, I just got it took care of. Ain't that good? That person could have died. Did you know that? Not dirty as blood, baby. You see, if there's something you need to take care of, do it. Get it done. That way you can give it all you got. Please, I pray tonight, if you're here and you're lost and God's dealing with your heart, please come and seek the Lord. Don't put off salvation. The Lord's coming. You heard what the preacher said as he was standing up here. He didn't know how fast the twinkling eye was. I don't either. But I guarantee you it's fast. And that's how fast it's going to be. But while we stand together and sing, if God's dealing with your heart, please come seek the Lord. Listen, church, this altar right here, it ain't just for lost people. That's you need right. to come up here and get something fixed up with the Lord. You come. You come.
That's right.
While we stand together and sing. Page 228.